This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh. I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, going to be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were going to order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. Two songs enter the sanctuary, one song leaves crowned the champion. It's a story we've heard before, but this time, they're competing to be the best Christian song of all time. The hunt continues on today's Good Christian Fun.
Somebody is hot, man.
That's new.
I'm the best of
life. Losers, in other words.
What has happened?
My wife.
You got me straight gripping,
yeah,
boy.
What is happening?
Okay, bitch, watch this.
What? Where am I?
That's Dr. Phil.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
And we're going to have some good Christian fun. My goal now is only to make Caroline laugh with the theme song.
I always forget it's coming. And then I always think, like, I've heard this all before. But you
but
always think
one,
it's something
there's
new.
There's one new thing. I'm like
treat.
Steve Jobs. Just one more thing. Just one more thing.
Thank you for making me laugh.
Hey, you're welcome. If we're not trying to make each other laugh, then what are we even doing here?
What are we doing here in this show?
Well, here's what we're doing here. Good Christian Fun is a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, Christian music, movies, entertainment. Soon, comedians. We got some comedians up on the slate, finally.
Yeah.
Friggin' finally. Comedians that aren't Shonda Pierce, I guess I should say. Our beloved Shonda Pierce
true.
Episode.
Shonda, our number one. You don't ask me to describe the show anymore. Is that because I take too long?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I know you're trying to keep it real tight at the top now. real loose at the bottom.
All right. Wow. Really got yourself there.
Sorry.
Isn't that a superpower to be able to make yourself have uproarious laughter at the things
you say? I do
it
almost constantly.
It's great.
Yeah.
How would you describe it? One thing I did like about every time you described it is that you would use a different metaphor word picture every time.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if that annoyed you or not.
I liked that.
Get it going. Let's go.
No.
My stage mom in the corner telling me to smile and speed it up.
No, but one thing I am proud of is ever since we came back from our little teeny tiny hiatus where we took 1 week off, Our episodes have all been under 2 hours.
Yeah, that is.
Until tonight.
I bet we could beat that.
Probably.
Yeah, but we've got a special episode tonight.
We got a special episode and a special return guest, ladies and gentlemen.
Put your pants on.
Put your pants on. Take your shirts off. Wiggle around the room.
Pour yourself some
put
oil.
Put your pants together.
From the Adventure Zone and my brother and me, and many more, give it up for Travis
McElroy.
The Trinitarian appearance on this podcast.
Slurp.
Wait,
this
pants.
Third.
Pants.
We're talking McGee and me in January. Talking Carmen in Ohio/Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about Carmen.
The hunt continues
That's
tonight.
That's right.
Thanks for doing it, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're
this
back.
Is always... You're a very sweet person that it's always like asking someone out on a date to ask them to do a show. I really think
see
it is.
Where he's going with this.
I think it is.
Do you want to kiss Kevin?
He's saying you're easy.
I'm just saying like it's someone that I know I can always call up for a good time. Wait a minute.
Wait.
Okay. So
it's like my numbers on the bathroom stall.
Yes. Oh my God. And I have it.
Yeah. I get it.
But you know, it is vulnerable.
I'm just someone you know with no other plans.
No.
I get it, Kevin.
No, that's not it at all. Now, do you have any podcasts where you have to have guests on the regular?
No.
See, and I feel like that is more sustainable.
I came very close. Like, there is a podcast that I do sporadically with Hal Lublin called Surprisingly Nice, where it is a guest episode. And it's one, being in Ohio, like, it's a lot of remote recordings, which is really hard to get people to do. Mm-hmm. But two, also like the time difference of just saying like, well, you get off work and you're free by 6:30 and that's 9:30 for me. And I go to bed at 10. So
yeah, it's tougher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't do it. And mostly I want it to be about me.
Yeah,
and how great I am.
The time pie, you know, it takes a big slice out of your
time.
It
takes some of the spotlight shine off of you, which is a negative. Yes.
Hey, so when did you add all that stuff to the intro song? I've only missed a few episodes.
It's been a gradual process, as has, you know, as are most of our deconversion stories. Sometimes it's not in an instant, but we slowly fall away into more sins.
Will there be a day, like episode like 300, you guys will put out, and everyone will suddenly realize, like, wait, they haven't talked about Christian stuff in a while.
They notice. So I don't think we could slip.
We'll always say God wants. We have a
well, you have a contract with him.
With HeadGum and the Lord, we do have a JPM quota that we have to meet. It's kind of
HeadGum and Head God.
Head God, yeah.
That's what he says.
The father. The dad father, male.
Hey, daddy
only
father.
Male.
He's got a penis.
Jesus was a man.
That's my March. Shouts out to Mark Driscoll. We miss you, buddy. Come on back anytime. No. I think he already came back.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, by the way.
Love it. We love having you.
Excited to be here.
What a great time. Well, we've already talked about your guestimony.
Uh-huh.
We've already talked with your wife, Teresa, about her guestimony.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear BB's?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Yeah.
BB's
well, she's to you.
Yeah. Yeah, what's her walk like? Like, literally.
She's a leader in the Mormon church.
Yeah, she falls down a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that maybe she's the second coming. So it's mostly just me.
It feels like that DC Talk song, What If I Stumble, is about babies walking. Yeah.
I think I talked about this last time, but it has been like, so Teresa's older sister just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they, you know, baptized her through the Catholic, whatever that the Catholic process is.
Uh-huh.
And so like, that is a thing where we're like, we're not doing that, right? Like, we're not going to...
Oh, with BB?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But we'll do it if we have another kid. We'll do it with the second kid just to hedge our bets.
And so BB's like, what the age? What is she going to think when she
what about me, Dad?
Kid?
I'm like, you're the fun one.
Yeah. All right? At we're least hanging our hopes on second. One baby will make it to heaven.
Yeah, right? Okay, statistically speaking.
Well, and that's kind of...
Oh, and then if you go to hell, you know BB will be there with
you.
Yeah.
Oh, aww. A little hell friend. And that is
subversive.
I just
look at her now and I say, see you in hell. And then like, I give her a kiss.
And she's just like, yay.
Well, I thought instead of doing a guestimony this time, we could do often what happens in Bible studies, in community groups, in your men's breakfast or your women's coffee.
Knitting circle.
Brunches.
Knitting circle. But it's always men's breakfast. What's the equivalent for women? Is it women's coffee? Or is it just like hanging out at someone's home?
It's women's breakfast.
It's women's breakfast?
Fourth meal.
Women's fourth
second breakfast.
The women just get together. They go to Taco Bell at 2 a.m. They're wait, all baked.
It's uh-huh. men's breakfast and women's Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Man, we and got the short brunch. End of that stick.
Teens brunch and elderly tea.
And pee is in the balls. Yeah. I thought we could do a discussion question.
Great.
This is a listener-submitted question that hopefully will inspire some sort of insightful yet hilarious and touching at the same time conversation where we can just dialogue honestly and just like get into it.
Listen, if you're about to ask me, would I rather have a dog with human hands or a cat with a human face? We already talked about it on my brother and me. We already covered it.
Gross.
That's a subtle plug. That's actually not a subtle plug.
No, that was a very obvious plug. And if you want to hear more,
you can subscribe to one
this
of the most popular podcasts.
Show.
Yeah, help them out. Help.
Thank you. I really need them. You know, we're a young show, just trying
we're
to get
going.
Give you
the GCF boost. Don't worry about it.
Thank
Finally,
you.
The discussion question is from a listener named Matt, and he says, "What is the most embarrassing or absurd thing you can remember earnestly praying for?"
Ooh.
Oh, it's so hard.
I honestly think I remember. Oh. This is an earnest thing. I remember praying to not have acne anymore.
Oh,
that was a thing
makes
I remember.
Total sense. Yeah.
That was a thing I remember. And maybe also not having awkward boners anymore. That might have also been a prayer.
RBs are real.
So two things popping out of your body.
Well,
you
I do. I remember. I,
down.
Oh, I get it. I do remember having a long conversation with a youth minister about like, and man, the words I'm about to say sound like, well, lust, like that idea of like, I think being like 14 and 15 and being like, hey, so this seems real effed up. And he like, it was a very like cool, like talk where I remember being impressed of like, oh, like an adult is talking to me like a normal person. And then like a couple years later, turned out that dude had an affair and like cheated on his wife with someone. And it's like, well, now, hold on. You just gave me a whole lesson about lust.
Right. Aww. And he had the lust to do that.
Aw, you jerk.
I was random boners in church in particular. That was a real thing. It's a boner bummer.
It is. Sure. I don't know. I didn't pray for this, but this is an embarrassing thing that it made me think of. It's like, I used to be really embarrassed that I would like yawn during church, but yawn so hard that like my eyes would water. You know, where like you yawn so hard you tear up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got so worried that someone would see me and think like, wow, Travis is really moved by the Spirit right now. Like tears in his eyes. Ugh. And I went into the ground and be like, I'm just sleeping. I'm 16. I don't care about this.
Yeah, when you're like wiping your eyes off.
No emotional investment whatsoever. What's something you remember?
This isn't like that embarrassing. I'm sure there's a better one I could think of, but I was going to Oklahoma for a cousin's wedding, and my mom is one of six kids, so it's like a really big family, and I have a ton of cousins out there, and they're all like really cool, and they're all older than me except for one cousin who is like a month younger than me. So she was like my buddy whenever I was out with that side of the family. And I remember sincerely praying like, I think I'm supposed to witness to her, God, and like, give me the courage, give me the strength and all this stuff. And so that whole trip, I was just like stressing so hard about this moment I was supposed to have with her because I felt like a confirmation from God.
I don't think that's embarrassing.
And then we were at a bridal luncheon. And so I turned and I saw that she had like a fish ring on her hand, like one of those Jesus fish rings.
And you're just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, no, literally, I was like, oh. And then what I thought was like a voice from God said, like, just witness through your actions. And I was like, I can
you
do.
You got it, God.
Preach no the problem. Gospel, use words when necessary. Yeah. I like the sound of that.
Oh, so stressful. But yeah.
I feel like that's not that embarrassing. How old were you?
I think I was like 13, 12 or 13.
I think that's perfectly sweet.
Thank you.
That actually sounds out of character that you would care about someone that much.
Okay. You know what?
It was still early. It was before all that was burned out.
Yeah, that's right. Before the God theme song of your life started adding bullshit on top of it that made it indecipherable.
Yeah.
I guess it's
embarrassing to me to think about like how intense I was about witnessing moments and how bad I was at it. Like I never evangelized the way I thought you were supposed to in my young life. And I was like really embarrassed about that for a long time.
Oh, that you weren't good
at it? Yeah, because I don't know if you ever had this, but I had friends who would be like, yeah, I've saved like three friends.
They had stats?
Yes, I definitely. Really?
I was like, damn, I haven't saved one.
Well, because that's, I think I talked about it last time, like the point system that we got of like bringing guests in.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like,
yeah. Your pastor was Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, you could literally like track, like, I've brought it. I've got check marks like this week, these people
yeah,
I brought in.
Yeah.
I remember. This is on point for this conversation of like going to a summer church camp, and there was this one dude, like one youth, like one of the counselors, who I remember at the time thinking was like an adult, and now he's probably 18 or 19, mm-hmm. and I was like 13. He was like one day just super intense of like, he walked in and was like, you guys, I just don't feel like you all get it. And like gave us this really intense retelling of the crucifixion story, like
of just like
a lot of eye contact, and it was, and I was like in it. I was like, yeah, dude, I never thought about it this way. And like one day he gave us like this lesson on, you know, a lot of people think when you pray it's got to be all like uptight and formulaic, but like you could just look at God and be like, hey God, what's up? What's up, dude? And like, just talk to him like a friend because he's your friend.
Oh, that's actually true. Yeah.
I will say though, like when I was like 14, I was like, that's so cool. But now, like at 35, if I was God and some 14-year-old was like, "What's up, God?" I'd be like, "Could you not?" Like, I am like the Alpha and Omega, and like I've existed outside of time. If you could just like say if you could say like hello and like call me sir or something, that'd be just great.
You know what? I don't have time for this. Boom, random boner. Deal with that for a hot sec.
Got me gone.
Hey, if you want to be cool like that, could you talk to my hippie son? Because like,
we're using slang.
Oh my god!
You can call me Mr. God, please.
Wait, Kevin, did you have one? Did you say one?
You know, I had one in my head, but then I thought of one even more embarrassing in the course of this conversation, because it was one that existed outside of myself. Because not only was it just a vertical thing between me and the Lord, but also became horizontal. The only time my life gets horizontal. In that,
I'm so confused by anything you're saying right
now. Cut to 2000, okay. Or flashback to 2003, 2004. 13, 14-year-old boy. Love Alias. Love the TV show Alias.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer Garner, talking Ron Rifkin. Bradley Cooper being the most successful person from that cast is...
Okay, so what did you pray?
I remember looking up spoilers for season 3 that Sydney Bristow got a sister. I was like, ah, shit, I didn't want to know that. So I prayed that I would forget it. But I was so concerned about it that then I said, hey, Dad, could you pray that I forget the spoilers for Alias?
So I just remembered this. 2003, how old were you?
I was 13 or 14.
And yeah. What did your dad say?
He was like, oh, yeah, okay.
You got it.
This season, these are these last few precious years before he moves to New Jersey for 9 years, and we see him like 5 times a year from then on out for the rest of
my life. He's been praying for you for like 10 years consistently.
You still wanted me to work on that, right, Kev?
And we don't have like emotional chats. That's kind of reserved for me and my mother. So he's just awake. So I'm like, and it's like 2 in the morning or something. He's watching TV, and I'm in the other room, and I come, and I'm like, hey, Dad, can you pray that I would forget the spoilers? Good grief.
So sweet.
That's
so
horrible.
That's just so you, too. That's great.
A very sweet thing. That's the thing. Oh, man.
That's up there with your cat dog story.
The thing is, season 3 isn't even that good. It's not good.
Well, maybe you got what you prayed for in a way that you didn't expect, Kevin.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that God ruined the season for me.
Mm-hmm. Sucked joy out of it.
Because if you had known spoilers for a really great season, wouldn't you have felt terrible?
I would. Season 2. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. That would have been bad. God does answer prayer.
Interesting.
That's my favorite. I will say.
He doesn't answer yes or no. He answers sort of.
He answers like, sort of. I don't know. I made the writing bad.
It's not the way you thought it would be.
What I have just done is one of my favorite things that I heard a lot from like ministers and people in church of like, hey, I prayed for this and it didn't happen. Like, oh, didn't it? Maybe when this and this and this. I was like, yeah, but I didn't pray for that. Like, those aren't the things I want. Like, well, but maybe God knew better. I'm like,
no.
Okay, but like, I prayed for something else and I didn't get it. I'm like, well.
1 + 1 = 2. You
know, it's like, okay, well then. Why don't I just stop praying and let God do the stuff that needs to happen, I guess.
I won't ask for anything, I guess.
Yeah. I will say, once again, there's a part of me that, like, there's probably a part of God too who's like, I do kind of wish people would stop praying. Like, I'm all knowing, and I'm like, I can just take care of it.
You think God operates on a strict inbox zero policy with prayer stuff? He's like, ugh.
I've seen Bruce Almighty. I know how
it works.
Oh,
the post-it notes flying all around the room.
And the email joke. But like that, I don't know. I could go on and on about prayer forever.
It's almost as if thieves get rich and saints get shot and God don't answer prayers a lot.
Well, there's beautiful. There's another thing.
Is that Carly
thing.
Rae?
Stephen Sondheim.
Okay.
I heard a lot growing up and like, man, it didn't occur to me. Like, I didn't take it to heart. Like, I wish I had. But like, that the only time most people pray is when they want something. And not to say like, hey, thank you for all the nice shit that just has happened to me today.
Yeah.
And God is probably sitting there like, hey, did you notice like today you didn't have any problems? Where you at?
There
like,
was sunshine.
Hey, you didn't pray for all the nice non-9/11 bed. Days.
Yeah. What about 9/10? 9/10 was fine.
9/9 was great. Nice. Where were you?
I give you one 9/11 and all I hear is, wah, wah, wah. Let bring my dad back.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Caroline.
A little Pete Davidson gets on his knees and prays to the Lord.
That's terrible.
Sad. Oh, it's sad when you put a human face to
terrible?
The suffering.
Yeah, it is. Mine was a funny made-up character.
But it wasn't. Somewhere, that's a real person.
What is that?
You just didn't name them.
Well, that's an interesting point, too, because, yeah, like using God as a vending machine most of the time is how it usually works for most people on Earth, right? Like, yeah. Most people alive, like, whenever you pray, it does end up being that. There's, like, little Christian, not acronyms, but acrostics, like, ACTS. Do you know that one?
Mm-hmm.
ACTS is, like, this is the order in which you're supposed to pray. We heard this a lot in churches growing up and definitely in, like, college times. So, ACTS is, like, adoration. So, it's, like, God, you're great. You're beautiful. Thank you for all that you've done.
Nice ass.
And then, nice ass.
Sick abs, bro.
Ass.
Abs
yeah,
and
have
ass.
You been working out? You look
the
great,
A is
God.
For
ass. C is for confession.
C is for chest.
Yeah. Nice pecs. Sweet Lord.
Nice titties.
T is for thighs.
T is for titties.
T is for titties? What's S for?
Snake.
Like
his ass dick.
Oh, come on.
Hey, God, sweet dick. Could I? I have a favorite ass.
Sweet
you only ever compliment my dick when you want something.
Starts to feel like it doesn't mean anything.
Wait, what
you.
Are the T? What's the T and the S?
Thanksgiving and
no, sorry.
Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication.
Supplication
like
here's what I
for
need.
Something.
So
yeah.
there's usually three things you need to do before you ask for the stuff that you want.
Right. Well, that's supposed to like order in your mind. You know, before you ask anything, remember everything. Didn't you guys hear talks a lot of the time too of like prayer isn't about asking something and getting it. It's about like being involved and being in conversation with God. Like it's not a tit for tat. It's like a.
I mean, yeah,
hey, I
want
to talk to you about how
this. That's something you
this.
Can understand as an adult. But like as a child, when you're like, if you gave me Superman's phone number, you don't think I'd call him and ask him for shit?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it can be simplified for kids too of like, I'm feeling really sick today. Like, well, let me pray for you.
Right.
You know, and like, I'll just, that'll make it better.
Well, but, and that's the other thing too. So two things. One, along those same lines of like, I would, you know, want something or feel bad or whatever, and you'd pray on it and seemingly nothing would happen. And it's like, okay. And it's like really easy to like be disillusioned
yeah, so it's
very
like, what's
early.
The function here?
And I also remember early on the, you know, the now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. When I was five, it freaked me out
yeah,
so bad.
I could die
like,
in my sleep.
I still am battling like existential crisis, like death is ever present. And I could die without any preparation. And, like, I remember being, like, 5 or 6 and having to sleep on Griffin's bedroom floor. This is my, like, 2 to 3-year-old little brother.
Aww.
Because I was so terrified that death would come and take me while I was asleep. I needed another person in the room.
Man.
And, like, so my parents had to, like, put down a sleeping bag. And so that kind of colored prayer for me a little bit for
sure.
a while of, like, wait, hold on. What did I just say?
Yeah, because that's a children's prayer.
Yeah, how about instead praying like, and God, if you could not let me die during the night, that would be tops.
Let's just not mention death. We can throw that one
yeah,
out
we,
for a little bit.
We can
bit.
Punch up this prayer a little
we can
bit.
Save that
yeah.
for later.
We can do the director's cut of that one.
You know what's interesting is like, even in, there's like a lot of forms of meditation that are fairly similar
demonic.
To prayer.
Continue.
To prayer, yeah. But like where you... it's not necessarily like asking for something, but you think a lot about like the energy that you put out, the energy you receive, like how day to day, like your actions. And it's a lot of like understanding the universe more than it's like asking for something. But like there was this one form, I wish I could remember the name of it, but specifically where you thought about like people that you had issues with and like tried to send them positive energy and like thought about people that you loved and like thanked the universe for them existing. It was very much about like being mindful.
Yeah,
and
that
present.
Is a nice kind of prayer thing.
And it was much more about like not expecting anything out of it, but just being mindful and present. And I wish I could go back in time and like when I still attended church and say like, hey, what if we started thinking about it more in those terms?
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Yeah,
and I think there are trends of that.
Ask, or whatever. That reminds me of like there were church services sometimes where they have people like gather up in groups of five and they'd be like, let's pray for the world. And so they would start like, let's pray for a community, let's pray for your state, let's pray for our nation, let's pray for the world or whatever, you know, Africa. Quotes.
Why are you putting Africa?
You know,
quotes?
The idea of
I'm
Africa.
I'm sure it's real. But I remember that being kind
an
of a
Africa
nice thing.
Truther.
Yeah, those like guided prayers, which is similar to meditation, but I feel like meditation was almost maybe more meaningful sometimes because it's like, I'm not going to solve this. I'm not going to improve it right now, but I can be present and like aware of it and wish for the best.
One of the nuggets, you know? I remember from a lot of the reform bro stuff that I was surrounded with the last couple of years, but has stuck with me as like, oh, this might be okay, is that prayer is more for you than it is for God or you like using superpowers to affect change in the world.
Yeah.
It's more for your heart.
That was one of my issues. Like, I remember being a disillusioned teen and thinking like, this is very performative. Like there's, you know, the call, you know, at the end of where people like, and if you want to come forward and like commit yourself, or if you just have something you want like us to pray on, and people would just come down to say like, I have something I would like people to pray on. And they wouldn't even like say what it is or whatever, but they would just come forward and announce like, I've got something I want everyone to pray on. I'm like, I don't think that's how this is supposed to work. Like, it's a thing that I say now. I don't know who your listeners are, and they might get mad at me for this, but it's like when I see people say like, I'm sending you my thoughts and prayers, and like, that's not really how that works. Like, okay, that's whatever, the sentiment's there, but like sending me your
got
prayers.
Got him, thanks.
I'm like, okay, you're sending me your prayer. Like, just give me a call and like talk to me about it. And like, that ain't how that works. Like,
well, and I think sometimes in those cases where it's like, I have something, if it's done healthily, and again, I'm kind of out of the loop with a lot of this like church group stuff, so I'm not quite sure what the Platonic ideal is. But I think if it's done healthily and ideally, when you say like, oh, hey, can we pray for this? That's kind of a functioning gateway of you just like sharing with friends.
Right.
Stuff that's actually going
on. Well, that's what I think was my problem with it. If you came forward and was like, hey, I'm dealing with this thing and the support of my church community is very important to me, so thank you all for your support. Mm-hmm. Much less than like, if we all harness our powers together, perhaps God will hear our unified voices. Like, okay, that's a weird way to... I think that in all things, if I could go back and do this whole religion thing again from the beginning, it would be a lot more about like
a monkey's paw curls in the corner of Caroline's apartment.
But it's on a monkey, so it's fine.
Ow! That hurts!
I'm rheumatoid arthritis! But it's just like the idea of like, why don't we all just like cut out this weird vocabulary, like secret code language, and just say like, I'm going through some shit right now, and like, if anybody wants to like hang out later, it would be really great.
Well, not to contradict you, but also,
all right,
I'd say that your the meditation you described of like sending out good energy to people, I think that's just a semantic difference between like thoughts and prayers. You know,
absolutely.
That. Like, I think it's meant to express like, I'm with you in this right now, and I'm thinking of you, and maybe we're not friends, and so that's my way of like.
The difference is, like, yes, you're quite correct, because, like, the difference is, it's more of, like, and you know that. Like, when I sit there are probably some people who do the meditation stuff who think, like, I'm sending out energy. But, like, I sit there and, like, no, I know that I'm not sending out magic. Like, I'm just sitting here thinking on this.
Like Mickey Mouse and the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Right. And I think that that's the problem. It's, like, there are too many people who use... who either A, like say thoughts and prayers without meaning it, or B, like as though, and that's what I'm doing to fix it. And it's like, No. Thought, like, if you're going to thought and pray on it, like, I've always liked it when used best as saying, like, I'm going to pray on that as another way of saying, like, I'm going to really think about this and work on it.
Yeah, like, I'm not just going to move on. Yeah, after someone told me this, I'm going to think about it.
And it's so unfortunate, and I think also telling of the time and age we live in, that thoughts and prayers is as loaded a phrase politically and almost like exclusively politically, it feels like in the discourse, as the word evangelical is. It's almost like, well, that's just a dog whistle for, I don't care that your kids got shot at school. Well, you know what I mean?
Because that's what it is. It's like, well, I want to seem like I'm doing something, but the bare minimum. And I think that's the problem is like, listen, I think God will agree. God, you with me on this one? Yeah, he agrees.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just like, I think anyone with even a beginning understanding of like what it actually means to be not just Christian, but like religious is like, okay, thoughts are great, but also part of it is your actions.
Yeah.
It's like you can't just say thoughts and prayers like 1,000 times in a row without them like doing anything.
Yeah, because it just feels like empty.
Well, but also the whole point of thought and prayers is like, I'm gonna think about it. Like,
don't
you
think they might have been sincere when they're saying that too sometimes? And they really were thinking and praying about it?
I will say I
understand your skepticism. Certain there are plenty of people who don't think about or pray about when they say that. But I think it could also be sincere.
Yeah, I think
it's just a phrase that we don't like.
We're thinking about it through the prism of like Sanders tweeting it out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also thinking about it as like, I know something's going on with a friend that's bad. I can't be with them physically or whatever.
I was going to ask you that. Do you tell people that you're praying for them?
No, I think now it basically means the same, but I use a different phrase. I say like, I'm keeping you in my thoughts today and in my heart today. Well, my friend Madison, actually, she said, I like when people say like, I'm holding your heart in mine. I think it's really nice.
That feels more tangible.
I think that's what it is. I think you're absolutely right. Is that I'm a little jaded on it because I actually don't mind when you say something like, I'm sending you like my thoughts. Doesn't bother me the same as someone who says like thoughts and prayers. I think it's something where it's like, if it's easy to say, it doesn't count to me.
Yeah,
you know,
just
like,
this cliche ring to it.
And that's the thing is like, there's a gray area somewhere between sincerity and insincerity where it's like, you think you mean it, but you're not doing it. And it's like, okay, well, you don't think you're being insincere, but like, that's the thing is like, I look at the church I grew up in and I would say like, there is like 10% on this end of the bell curve and 10% on this end of the bell curve of like 10% who honestly believe everything that they're saying and live, you know, the life and do the walk. And then there's 10% over here who know they're just showing up to like get the praise and adoration for being such great, cool people. Mm-hmm. But then the other 80% in the middle, like, just are doing what they think they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And when they walk out the door, like, don't think about it anymore. Like, they're not doing it on purpose. And I think that's true of
it's
most
just like
people.
This unexamined.
Right. I think it's true of most people who say like thoughts and prayers. They're not like, wow, another day. I've nailed it with like, but I think they're like, oh, thoughts and prayers. And it's like, okay, but what action is behind that? Mm-hmm. What intention was behind that? Why did you say that thing?
Yeah. Like, I know that was really easy for you to say.
Right.
So it doesn't really feel like it meant that much.
I mean, I'm also judgmental.
But, you know, it does speak to the idea of, like, the things that it feels like we're getting tripped up on. Even in this conversation, it's just, like, vocab. It's just, like, communicate. It's verbal communication. So if sincere verbal communication isn't met, if not transcended by an action that matches it or does even better than it, then it does feel like... what's the phrase from scripture? Rags. Filthy rags. Like, if your works without faith are filthy rags.
Faith without works.
It was...
Twerks without jerks.
Yeah, twerks without jerks. Twerks for jerks. was, you know, the whole thing of like, okay, well, you asked for forgiveness for this thing, but then you did it again. And like, so even if you were sincere when you asked for forgiveness, it wasn't sincere because then you went out and did that thing again. Mm-hmm. And like that to me is kind of the way I think about it. It's like, okay, thoughts and prayers. But then between the time when you said thoughts and prayers to the next time you said thoughts and prayers, what did you do?
Yeah.
Also, like I said, I know that I'm jaded about a lot of that because like when my mom was sick and dying, like suddenly all these people who would say they were supporting her like didn't do shit.
Yeah, but found an easy like catchphrase to say.
Right,
to you.
And like, well, we're thinking about
one
you.
One more angel
like,
in heaven.
Okay, cool. But like, what are you doing the hell?
Can you make some food? Or
yeah, that would be, it would be great if you just like came and like hung out with
sat
us.
With
and,
me.
And like that just didn't happen. You know what I mean? So yeah. Like there's a lot of that of like, okay, but your thoughts and prayers don't do shit for me. Like saying thoughts and prayers to someone living on the street don't help them. Mm-hmm. Like give them a dollar. That's way better. You know, yeah. Like there's a lot of that of like, I think that that's the thing is like, I don't mind if someone prays for something. I don't mind if they're thinking about you and say, but like a meal is a way better thing. Like actions, mm-hmm. You know, you said the thing about like witness through your actions. It's like, yeah, that's a way better way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are very few people in my life that I can point to as like, that was a person that I truly believe was like living a Christian lifestyle that I found inspiring. And most of the time it's just people with a lot of words who weren't doing shit, mm-hmm. You know? And but like,
it's so important to be mindful of who you are talking to and not just have blanket vocab,
mm-hmm.
Which is why I think, yeah, there's so many discussions in the church going outside of the church that get so jacked up because they don't know who they're talking to.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, or we don't know who we're talking
well,
to.
Well, and also we get used to, and I say we there as the church, right? Which is weird because I haven't thought of myself included in that in a while.
No, we're in a church right now, man.
But like we get used to like using this language and everyone agreeing on the meanings and understanding it, and then when you use it to speak to someone who's not, and they're like, that doesn't mean anything, you're like, mm-hmm. Thoughts and prayers. It's like,
and it is what? It's so hard not to like get so hard and yesterday I literally said to someone, I hate that word, and she said, what word? I said faithfulness.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hate that word. And it's like, I have no rational. It's a very sweet person. But it just felt like there was a dry fag conversation I overheard at a church. I was at work. A guy said to another person, I'm really grateful for your faithfulness. I was like, what did he just say?
Right.
I mean, and he's probably, I know the guy. He's probably sincere. But it's just like, isn't that so funny that something bristles up against my heart or within me where I'm like, that's some bullshit. But in reality, maybe it wasn't bullshit. Maybe
yeah,
he is being sincere.
It reminds me of, what was it, like 2 weeks ago when we were talking about on Second Service, like that artist who was describing what her album meant. And it was like, through the hills and the valleys.
Oh, Miss McCracken.
This album was written in the valleys and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, why didn't she just say this was written in sadness or this was like difficult for me? Because with her Christianese, she just locked out a group of people.
It's a really...
Know?
Sprinkle some F-bombs
in
there.
Yeah, I know. Who can look
bad? I was effing sad. This is the thing I've been thinking about a lot. It's like we're working with Bibi on like language and teaching her words, right? Of like, it's very much like how you go about teaching someone English as a second language of like, you can't start with idioms and you can't start with slang because it's like, wait, what? It doesn't make any sense. So like I've thought about this a lot where like Bibi will point up and it's like, is she pointing at the ceiling or the sky or up
or the Lord
or what? Like what is it? And so like really having to think and choose your words. And like I also am a big proponent of like words have meaning, and like there's a big difference between saying like I'm mad versus I'm angry versus saying I'm irate versus all of the frustrated. Mm-hmm. They all mean different things, and they have a very subjective meaning where me saying I'm mad is different from me saying I'm frustrated, and me saying I'm frustrated is different from you saying you're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one of the problems that I have with the idea of like thoughts and prayers is like, okay, but what do you mean? Like if you're using a catchphrase, right, it loses a lot of meaning versus you choosing your words to speak to that person in that moment of truth.
Trying to write something a little original, unpacking that phrase and defining that better. Right?
And so it's not that I don't believe that people are allowed to have thoughts and prayers or that some people mean it.
It's just like poor communication.
Yeah, it doesn't get the point across that mm-hmm. well, you know, of like, I'd much rather have someone message me like, I don't know what to say. Like, that means a lot more to me than just like, hey, I read this on a card and now I'm saying it to you.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's why one size fits all stuff when it comes to language or certain like it just it can be suffocating and it doesn't allow for the most latitude for like love and compassion a lot of times. Yeah. Unfortunately. And sometimes you can pray all you want, but you're still going to remember that Sydney Bristow has a secret sister that she finds out about.
Well, now you're ruining it for everyone else.
You know what? It's 10 years plus on a network drama. I think that's the rule.
I just finished season 2.
Again, sweetest part about Star is Born, Ron Rifkin and Greg Grunberg are in it from Alias.
That's the best
part? That is the sweetest part.
It's the best part. That was a great question. Thank you, Matt, for the question.
Yeah, prompted a lot, man.
For your new, because we got a lot of really good, really loaded discussion questions. So if you want to submit some more, you can email us goodchristianfun@gmail.com, subject line discussion questions, and we'll certainly do those more in future episodes, especially when we have repeat guests like Travis on.
Yeah.
So we'll take a break and we'll be right back with more Good Christian Fun. Ow.
What, I squeezed a fart out of you?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now.
Mm.
And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
You get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
like... feel as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree.
The
first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. I thought you were about to call me a robot or something.
No, you did have a glitch, though.
Welcome, Quack, the good guys.
Oh, come on. Come on,
welcome
guys.
Back.
Don't
welcome
01101
welcome
me.
Back.
Wait a minute. It's time for The Hunt for the best Christian song of all time.
You are the best
Christian song of all time.
The best. worst?
We've done a lot of hunts for the worst Christian song of all time. We're going to try something different. We're going to try a hunt for the best Christian song. We did this in a previous episode. And like that episode, we're going to do this around a specific theme. Although this one might be a little broader than our very specific theme last time. So the way this will work, we'll listen to most, if not all, of two songs. And then we'll say which one we think is the best. And the best can be defined, again, any way we want it to be. It can be the best the way You Don't Have the Right by Phillips Craig and Dean is the best, or legitimately the best, like
objectively the best.
Like Carly Rae Jepsen is objectively the best.
Carly Rae Jepsen is a Christian artist?
Oh, gosh, I wish. Yes. Oh, man, the kingdom would benefit so much from her art.
We gotta get
million
her.
Million saved.
Come and pray with me. That'd be great. So the theme...
Party for one, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, party for three. The theme for this hunt is choirs.
Okay. Ooh, yeah.
Choirs. These are two...
The theme for this hunt is Helen.
The theme for this hunt is Ethan.
What are you guys talking about?
Like Helen Hunt?
Helen Hunt.
Oh.
Ethan Hunt.
Oh, cute. Okay.
Oh, cute.
Cute.
Keep going.
Cute joke.
That's why Helen I stopped
Hunt,
dating.
When my brother and I were little, she was like the definition of like a beautiful woman. So if he said like, I saw a cute girl, I was like Helen Hunt.
Boys were mad about her for sure.
She was so great.
Oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
Guys, stop saying, oh, I get it to everything the other person says.
That's why I've always said the most insulting thing you can say to someone is after they tell a joke, say, oh, that's funny. Like, oh, then why didn't you laugh?
Uh-huh. One of my favorites is just going, oh,
okay.
Oh, interesting. That's my favorite
nice.
Reaction.
Nice. Good. I'm proud of you.
The theme is choirs. Our first song is pretty recognizable, but let's listen to it anyway.
Book of Revelation, chapter 7.
Revolution 16, by Kirk 17. Franklin and yes, the family.
They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. Preach, preacher, for God shall wipe away, yes, sir, every tear from their eyes. Yes, sir. Get ready for the revolution. Come on. What you say? Come on.
Yeah.
Do you want a revolution?
I do.
Yes, Queen. Come on.
I do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen. Do you want a revolution? I say, do you want a revolution? No crime, no, no dying. No. Politicians lying. Everybody's trying.
That's right.
To make a dollar, it makes me want to holler.
Come on.
The way to do my life, the way to do my life. There's gonna be a brighter day.
Yes,
all your troubles will pass away.
Hallelujah.
A revolution's come coming. On. Yes, it's coming, coming. Come revolution's
come
coming.
On.
Yes, it's coming.
Come on.
Do you guys?
If you have one. I don't want to be an imposition.
I'll go check in the
back. Do you want to be an imposition?
I say, do you want a revolution? Say, what you feeling, what you want, son? Who you calling to, son? You know Jesus is the true son. The second in the Trinity, I know you feeling him. 500 days left into the new millennium. You hearing them trumpets?
There's a sound in this song that sounds like it's from Sonic the Hedgehog. I'll point it out when it happens.
Cause when I see him, I'm giving really good.
They say we move too much, we do too much, and if we step against
oh, us, wow.
Ain't no stopping what we're doing when the spirit is moving. Don't be hating what I'm doing, I'm the vessel he's using. Everywhere I be, they try to judge me, they try to shake me, they try to buzz me, but they can't break me, cause I'm down with Christ. Dog child of new nation, and we feel alright. Well, alright.
Where
are
my West Coast Saints at? Hey.
Where are my Pasadena Saints at?
Hello.
Oh, hi there. We're Gentiles.
They don't ask about Cincinnati Saints.
Not yet. Oh, no,
where my Cincy Saints at?
Thank you.
They do. Nashville, Newsville, Philly, Denver, Charlotte, Tampa, Fort Worth.
Where's Newsville?
I don't know. They name a lot of cities. too many cities. Well, very, you would feel excluded pretty easily.
Very geographical.
The song "The Heart of Rock and Roll Is Still Beating" by Huey Lewis. Mm-hmm. My friend Justin believed for a long time that those lyrics were "The Heart of Rock and Roll Is Topeka," and he. This
My
was,
wishful thinking.
This was shored up in his mind because of the period where he's going like Detroit, and he's like, Justin thought he was just listing all the places where the Heart of Rock and Roll was not. Heart of Rock and Roll is Topeka.
So Revolution, this song, Kirk Franklin and Company. I've never heard this song before. Really?
Yeah.
You've heard it before.
I feel like I've heard it before. Is this like his big song?
I would say this, and for me, this and Stomp Remix, apex Kirk Franklin.
What's interesting about this, and the fact that the coincidence here, is that today I thought of joking about that Pray by MC Hammer is the best Christian song of all time.
Oh, wow.
And it has a very similar kind of vibe.
Oh, I'm sorry that topic didn't come up organically for you to make that joke.
But no, it is fun. It's not a joke, Caroline. It's my heart.
I was going
to
say.
Is my heart a joke to
you? For the best.
Whoa. Okay.
But there is a certain, I think that there is a certain quality to this that I really enjoy.
It is real deal gospel music. Kirk Franklin. By this point, this is a song released in 1998. And if you don't know it
Yeah. Because he says, 500 days till the new millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wait, did he say millennium or willennium?
He said both at various times over and over again, if you listen closely.
Wait a minute, Travis. You've never heard this song. So are you telling me you're not familiar with Mind If I Praise God real quick? This will be a quick diversion.
Yep, we're going to need to play this.
We're going to need to play this.
Look at this dude over here praising God, man. Hey, what's up? What's up? Hey, let me holler at you, my man.
Book of Revelation.
You heard that new Kirk Franklin?
Verses 16 and 17.
Yes, sir. You heard that new Kirk Franklin?
Hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. Yeah. Reach out, for God shall wipe away.
Yes, I got you.
Every tear from the
eyes. Nah, go ahead. What do you think?
Ready for the revolution. Come on.
I am, and I don't use this word lightly, gobsmacked.
Oh, sure.
Y'all mind if I praise God?
I would say it's one of the top 10 videos of all time on the internet.
It's so good.
Not kidding. Pure joy. And it did launch in the same way the oh, gosh, no.
Kevin.
Excuse me. In the same way.
Should we hit some playlists you have?
No.
It was an experiment video.
Wait, I think this is Shorty, I Don't Mind, if I'm not mistaken.
Shorty, I don't
mind. No, but it did launch the Mind If I Praise God real quick meme, where people, hundreds of kids across the country, recreated Mind If I Praise God real quick and did a shot-for-shot recreation of that.
This must have been hard.
That video.
That guy's a good dancer.
Great dancer, I would say.
I like this song. It's very political in a fun way.
Well, it's against racism, which I agree with.
On board.
It's also against two-facism.
Huh.
On board.
No more racism, two-facism, no pollution. The solution, revolution.
Revolution.
And it's the answer to the question, you say you want a revolution, posed by John Lennon. It's kind of a spiritual sequel to that song.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There was one part where I'm glad that they went on to clarify, because they were just like, fathers leaving their babies with mothers, and I'm like, but what if I need to go to the store? And then they're like,
it's okay if you want to go to the store.
I mean, if it's just for like a weekend trip to Los Angeles can guest on a bunch of podcasts, that's totally cool.
Yeah, you abandoned your kid.
Yeah,
thanks,
Caroline.
Oh,
well, I
heard she was crying and stuff.
You two are kind
left.
Of my kids, if you think about
it's an honor to be adopted.
I would gladly put on a little tiger suit.
Oh yeah,
I'm already wearing a diaper.
You know, if you don't clarify though that it's my daughter, okay.
Maybe one of my favorite aspects of this is it's Kirk Franklin and the family. Kirk Franklin's role mostly is to go, come on. The verses are. It's the choir. Yeah, it's the family.
It's true. Yeah. Okay, Choir was great.
Do I want a revolution?
It's fun.
I think you do.
Okay.
And if nothing else, you want the Vitamin String Quartet to also cover this.
I just wish that they would have changed.
For the revolution.
Ooh. Do you want a revolution?
Oh, I see. I wish that they would have varied it a little bit to be like, would you like a revolution? Who wants a revolution? Do you want a revolution?
Yes, please.
Perchance, would you be interested?
Might I interest you in a revolution today? We got trouble right here in River City. There is something about that sound, though, that I really love. That, like, really quick. Yeah. Oh,
I mean, Vitamin String Quartet, they got you covered. They have, I think, over 260 albums.
Dang. Wow. Yeah, that was like my study go-to music.
Yeah.
Because it's classical, but it was a little fun.
Can I ask you a really weird,
yes, sir,
almost off-topic question? This is such a non sequitur, but this is how my brain works. In the Mercy Me song, I can only imagine.
Yes, sir.
Does he say a line, would I dance for you, Jesus?
Or an, yes, honor of you be still. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. I randomly popped in my head the other day when I was thinking about things.
You want to make Jesus happy, don't you?
Yeah, there's something about that line.
Do the dance I like.
Dance for me.
Okay.
You got it, Jesus.
You want? Is this what you
It's not important. It's not germane to this conversation at all.
And again, imagine Bart Miller dancing for Jesus.
Like this? Is this how you want me to dance, Jesus?
What? Slower. Why is that funny, Kevin?
Because he's a awkward white guy.
You don't know that. What if he dances real good?
No, I've seen some of their later music videos. He doesn't.
Oh, okay.
There's one called Shake where it made me want to die.
Here's the thing about gospel music.
Uh-huh.
It is inherently better with a choir.
Sure.
This is what I believe. I
Yes, this is Travis's creed.
Well, and it's like, you know, I grew up in Southern Baptist Church where, like, uh-huh, we had like a huge choir of people, and like there's just something about hearing like so many voices in harmony that's just like, yes, this is what I believe this music is supposed to sound like. So.
Sure. All right, so that's Revolution. That's nominee number one. Nominee number two is a song called My Deliverer. Have either of you heard of this song?
I mean, it's not bringing exactly the same energy here, Kev.
No, it's not. I wanted to choose two very different genres.
I like this Enya feel. Ooh, yeah. Titanic.
Little penny whistle action. But listen, this is more of a slow burn.
Joseph took his wife and her child, and they went to Africa to escape the rage of a deadly king.
Okay. And then?
Go faster.
On the banks of the Nile, Jesus listened.
I'm trying to get home for the game.
That the captive children used to sing, they were singing.
My deliverer. Nope. These kids are dead.
They're all floating above.
Nope,
him.
Nope, nope. These are ghost kids.
Hang on.
My pickup. Okay. Oh. Drums.
It's also kind of the Old West, a little bit.
Yeehaw!
Through a dry and thirsty land,
yum, yum.
Water from the canyon high. Self out of Lake Sangre's broken.
I am dead.
Definitely.
20 years ago, I fell in a well.
Jesus heard the whole world cry.
That wasn't the choir, by the way. That I was talking about. The choir's coming up.
We haven't gotten to the choir bar yet, Kev.
No, we got another 6 minutes.
Oh my goodness!
I'm just kidding.
This is an adult choir now.
All the dead kids grew up.
You age in heaven.
You age super fast.
He will never break his promise. He has written it.
Okay, that got me. Daddy likes the keychain.
Daddy likey. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by.
I will never doubt his promise. Uh-huh. Though I doubt my heart, I doubt my eyes.
My deliverer. I don't know. We could do it again, right? Also,
I would have liked that better if they would have key changed back down. Like, you know, we can't. This is unsustainable.
By the way, sung by Rick Elias, but listen for a Michael W. Smith cameo coming up.
Going.
We got seven more key changes. I think Michael W. Smith's coming up on this next slide.
He sounds so weak.
Why?
Why did they need that?
Well, I'll tell you why.
As Mike.
Oh, it definitely wasn't. It wasn't.
It wasn't.
Here's the problem.
Wait, can I tell you a little backstory before we get to our hot takes?
Yeah. What is this?
So
explain yourself.
So according to the Dove Awards, Song of the Year, also released
what
in
year?
1998. Same year as Revolution. So they were competing against each other from the jump.
Oh, take us home.
Okay, so the backstory of this, written by Rich Mullins of Our God is an Awesome God fame, recorded posthumously. He was putting together an album called The Jesus Record. He cut all these demos for it, like 8 or 10 songs he wrote. He recorded the demos. 10 days later, gets a car crash, dies.
Uh-huh.
So this is like 1997. And so his band and his bandmates finish the record for him using the demos that he cut 10 days before he died for this thing. So they like, so that guy singing, Rick Elias, he was a guitarist in his band. And also Michael W. Smith's on the album. Amy Grant does one of the songs. Like, everyone comes together
like
to finish this thing. Yeah, basically as a tribute. So like his Ragamuffin band, that was the band he put together for like the last two albums that he did. And so they finished it for him.
Aww.
So they cut this together, and there's like a really, I guess, kind of a creepy sounding, you know, posthumously creepy, but just kind of morbid. But this is his...
This is his demo.
Yeah, this is his demo for it. My deliverer. So anyway, so that's the backstory. So they cut it, they finish, and they put out the record. One disc is all his demos. The other disc is the finished songs. So they cut it, put it together. Wins best song for the Dove Awards. DC Talk does a cover of it. For the Prince of Egypt, music inspired by the Prince of Egypt album.
Oh my gosh, they would.
The cover is very bad. It is not a good cover. It's a bad cover.
So that makes more sense. Like, you sound like a theater piece. Like, this is really overwhelming. Like, a
super
lot of
theatrical
production, but like, great. You know, I feel like if I saw this live, I would be moved to tears.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. That's the problem with this one versus Revolution. Is listening to this, I was like, I bet in a moment where it's just like one solo voice singing, and then like. This like
this
swarm
orchestra.
Of humanity. Like, I think it would be incredibly moving. But listening to it, it doesn't have that same impact in like a studio recording of it. Just because I think like when you're dealing with quite too much mixing and too much like studio tweaking really takes down a lot of that, like the power of like a wall of human voices just like slamming into you.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have the same fun as Revolution.
Well, it's definitely not as fun.
It's very
corny. If we're looking for fun, huh?
It's so corny.
No, and I don't mean fun of like happy.
Yeah.
I mean as like what an interesting like jumble of interesting thing. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, I was just thinking, is if the stories for the songs were reversed.
Yeah.
They recorded Revolution as a tribute to Kirk Franklin using demo take cut.
That'd be really nice.
It's just Kirk Franklin in like an abandoned church going, come on, to no one.
There we go.
I also think though that this is maybe a like generational thing, right? Of like listening to Revolution, I thought of like MC Hammer, and I thought of like instantly like Sister Act 2, Joyful Joyful.
Sure.
And like these songs that I very much remember being a kid and thinking like, this is the cool side of like what a Christian song could sound like.
Yeah, we should do more gospel music on this show. We should for sure do that more.
Well, and that's the thing is like, it's hard for me now because I'm listening to this and thinking like, there's a song called Wade in the Water that is like an old spiritual that has been just done and done and done and done. That is like a choral song that is just incredible. Mm-hmm. And so it's then hard for me to listen to the second one and be like, and that's better than that. Whereas Revolution to me is like a thing on its own and a very interesting. I think maybe that's it. Not to get too like meh, but I really feel like what my deliverer is trying to do is sound like spirituals that did it better than that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, well, you're sorry, Rich Rollins, but it sounds like you're trying to do your version of like a spiritual gospel number.
Not cultural appropriation, but just like, here's my equivalent, the best I know how to write.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, cool, but there are already those that are like,
gotcha.
The thing that you're inspired by to write this thing is better than the thing you're right. You didn't add new to it in a way that made it your own.
Here's my answer for best song. I'll say Revolution because, to your point, I feel like it was a better use of the choir.
Yeah.
It was more fun. You could hear their voices. You can feel the energy of it. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, it was like another orchestra piece, like sort of like in the background a little bit. And a little spooky.
And
on top
Revolution
of that.
Also
scary. I didn't like that.
Revolution had this feeling that I can best describe as when you watch a choir director in church who's clearly really into it, where it's just like, yeah, I'm enjoying the choir, but who's that guy? Like, what are they doing? Uh-huh. Like that, that's what the whole song of Revolution
sounds
like. And
not that I don't love like classical choir too, but you know, like a more like pristine
a more
choir
traditionalist
sound.
Approach.
Yes. Well, yes. And but also, I liked this a little bit better.
I might also be coming into it with bias that this will surprise no one at this point in the episode to say Revolution sounds more like a song you'd listen to and then kind of go like, oh, is this about God? Whereas my deliverer right out the gate is like Mary and Joseph. And you're like,
that could be any Mary and Joseph.
Okay.
All right. So two votes for Revolution by Kirk Franklin and the family.
Yeah. How do you feel,
so,
Kevo?
I'm kind of a facilitator in more of these situations.
All right. That's a coward's way.
A safe distance. Yeah.
What?
Commit to something for once in your life, Kevin.
I think the structure of my deliverer is better. And I think that the melody and all that stuff is better.
Well, here's
I think Revolution is more fun, though.
Here's the problem,
I can see that.
If you're going to say the word deliver and talk about a choral song that has to do with Christianity, Deliver Us from Prince of Egypt is a way better song.
I think it's on par.
What?
I think Deliver Us is better. You're wrong.
I think it's a slightly different style and genre, but
that's all right. It's all subjective.
I think it's
but here's the thing. I think
no, let's fight.
I think that my deliverer is wants to sound like what Deliver Us sounds like.
Same year. No way.
But
No, he wrote it in 97.
I'm not saying he was trying to sound like Deliver Us.
Right.
I'm saying that the two like just happened to be very similar. But if you could go back and ask Rich Mullins, I guarantee you'd be like, yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, I think my deliverer is about Postmates.
Do you want to add like an autopsy photo to the show notes or something?
No,
Kevin?
I cut that part out where I described how Rich Mullins died.
Okay, good.
And now people think you're the callous one.
You editing monster.
I don't like these tricks you're playing on us with editing.
It does it to me all
like,
the time.
I'm gonna talk about this now. I'm like, oh, no, you're talking about something I've cut.
I stopped doing that ever since you called me on it. I don't do that anymore.
Are you gonna cut
this,
Kevin?
Back and it'll be like,
what?
Are you gonna cut this?
I'm a big bitch. What?
I could just see Kevin saying like, and I'm just like, fuck you, and you're like, fuck you, and he cuts out the thing he says, and so it's just you telling Kevin, fuck you. Yeah. Like, and someone on like, Facebook what? Who will say a really like weird comment, and then someone will respond to it, and they'll delete
and then
their
you
original
edit the
comment.
Post. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So rude.
Oh, that's a good strategy. I could try that for the next episode. I like the way you think. But for now, for this week, we have voted Revolution. A fun party song, I guess.
Oh my God.
Are you going to like.
Could you be anywhere white you're and the bad?
White and bad?
A fun party song.
Once you get a big collection of these from different, like, you know, themes.
Oh, yeah. That's the one we do the March Madness.
Yeah, right. You're going to do a bracket.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, for sure. There's going to be a bracket.
Nice.
Yes. So we have voted Revolution by Kirk Franklin and the Family. You are the best Christian song of all time.
You are the best
Christian song of all time. Do I sound sad when I say that?
No, you sound like you're saying it live in the mic. I keep looking over at you and you're not talking. It's pre-recorded, but it sounds exactly like you talking.
Guys, is that what my voice sounds like?
Yeah, you sound sad.
So the hunt continues. We're going to open this up to Twitter. Where I'm almost certain my deliverer will get absolutely blasted. But if you go to @ChristianFunPod on Twitter this week, you can vote for either My Deliverer or Revolution by Kirk Franklin and the Family as the best Christian song of all time.
Pokemon go to the polls,
blah, 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 Hillary.
You sound sad, Kevin.
Don't talk over Pokemon Go to the polls.
Sorry, I should let that breathe like it's always deserved to.
Let the flavor bloom.
I think people... There's people who legitimately stopped listening because we play that clip.
That's like when they turn off
the
show.
So. No, I think stopped listening to the show.
Oh, because they
I'll tell
don't
you,
like
Kevin,
Hillary.
The same thing that I told my I think 9-year-old niece. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, then they're not the friends you want.
That's fair. I could see that.
I just remembered Hillary posting that video where she's in Ohio or something, and she goes, "Just chilling." It's like she's half in the frame.
I'm just chilling in Cedar Rapids.
I always think
on the waterfront somewhere.
I always think of her trying to dab on Ellen. It just looks like she's trying to do like a stretch and she's screwing it up. It's incredible. But you know what? We failed to lift Hillary up in 2016 to the White House. We all failed.
You didn't pray hard enough.
You didn't pray hard enough.
You thought plenty hard. Your prayers were lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you send Hillary thoughts and prayers? Didn't work.
Oh, I forgot.
Didn't work.
I sent her a fruit basket. No, Derek. Thoughts and prayers are nothing.
No actions.
Oh, boy. We all know how this part works. I don't need to explain it, but if you're new listening, this is a part of the show where we don't plug stuff or promote ourselves. We lift it up to the Lord. So we start, as per usual, with Travis McElroy, I guess.
I just really want to lift up Adventure Zone graphic novel book 2,
mm-hmm.
Murder on the Rockport Limited, available for pre-order now. Thoughts and pre-orders.
Send your thoughts and pre-orders to Travis.
You can go to theadventurezonecomic.com and pre-order it now. It comes out in July. And while you're there, go ahead and get yourself a copy of book 1 if you have it.
A New York Times bestseller, if I'm not mistaken.
New York Times number 1 bestseller, Kevin.
Ooh, baby!
Ooh.
It's a graphic novel, though.
Good for
so,
you, man.
Like, it's
That's great.
Cheating. And I also just want to lift up all the podcasts I'm on. You can find them at McElroyShows.com.
You host on the regs 4 or 5 podcasts weekly.
Every week, my brother, Adventure Zone Run, Schmanners, Trends Like These, 5 every week.
Okay.
And then like another 4 that we do sporadically, including coming up Till Death Do Us Bart.
How do you keep from getting burnt out?
Oh, I'm burnt out.
Oh,
I'm
no.
just an empty husk.
I have a question too. How graphic is that novel?
It's pretty graphic. There are some dirty words in there. I should warn you. Some dirty words, some cartoon violence.
Can I guess them?
Can you guess the dirty words? Yeah.
Snake.
That's in there?
Right. Oh, that's it.
That's the only one.
Yes,
how graphic is the graphic novel? All right. Thank you, Travis. Thanks for lifting that up.
Caroline, are you just enjoying
you
snake?
Okay?
I'm a child.
Yeah.
That's right.
All
right.
I have some things I want to lift up.
Oh, whoa. I have some things I want to say.
I forgot to lift these up before, but I was a guest on a couple podcasts recently. One was Dismantle.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great one. We talked about God and the genders we assign to him and imagining God as female for a change and what that can do for you. That was cool.
You'll
and
believe
then,
God is a woman.
That's right. I always do. The other one I was on was Is This Adulting?
Oh, I've been on there.
With those guys, yeah.
Hey.
So if you want to listen to me talk some more, you can do that there. You can also listen to me talk at Caroline's Farts on Twitter and Instagram.
Anything else to lift up?
No, that's it. Alrighty. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Actually, second season of Heavyweight is out now. We were just talking about it. It's such a good show. Go listen to that. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast. Enjoy.
If you're looking for an in, I recommend the episode Kenny. I found it fascinating. It's all about a stuntman and like his it's a whole thing. There's also a very good episode, Buzz, that's about the host and his father and like helping his father talk to his
That was a heartbreaking
Buzz is great. The Moby one is great.
Rob is great. Rob
is great.
Cordry.
Broken arm.
Oh, the Rob Cordry one's
so
good.
Oh, the one
good.
With the mother and her son, Henry.
Mm-hmm.
That one broke me down. That one was so sweet.
Yeah.
Parents
we got it. I realized I lifted up the Ringer podcast last week. Now we're lifting up the Gimlet podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, these struggling little startups.
I don't think I would have known about them. They someone didn't recommend them
really?
To me. So, yeah.
Oh, then I will also recommend, I will lift up another not my podcast. Cocaine and Rhinestones. It's the history of country
music. Oh, yeah,
music
with Tyler.
Wait, the history of what music?
Country music
from
1900 to 2000, but it's very much like... It's like if it was a true crime story, but instead of crime, it's true country music stories.
Fun.
It's
okay.
Really
yeah, he's really smart about like, there's one, is it the Loretta Lynn one about mm-hmm. the pill? Very fascinating, just history of
even if you're not a country fan?
Oh, I'm not a country fan at all. Yeah. I find it, I've listened to every episode like 8 times.
He makes it, I've had a few friends recommend that. It's really good. Mm-hmm. And you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I have nothing to lift up this week. Get out there and vote. You guys got to get
so
out
later.
I thought this was coming out in 2 weeks.
Okay. Right. But you know what? That idea is evergreen.
Going for the guy who just checked if he was registered today.
Shut up. No.
Vote.org.
No, but I am.
But you are.
I am.
And that was good.
I'm going to Pokemon Go to the post. So I want to lift up my local senators. That's who I want to lift up. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can leave us a review on iTunes. And every review you leave us, we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity is Trans Lifeline. Travis, thank you so much for joining us thrice on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for always...
I'll never come back again.
I was going to say thanks for always giving us a good time. But if this is the last time, then it was an honor.
No, I'll be back. And you know what? Next time, I will bring to you a topic and make you guys watch it.
Oh,
instead
great.
Of the other way around.
I'm down.
So,
you give
Because at that point, listen, we've done three, you know, like we need to find something new.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or circle back and just start where we began.
No, I think repeating more or less the same 5 or 6 messages we keep hammering home is the way to go.
Yeah.
On this show. And there's nothing left to say except for in all of Pont's people said,
Amen.
We'll go out with champion Kirk Franklin and the family. Revelation.
Oh, turn it up.
Yeah, I got you.
Do you mind if I praise God real quick?
Go ahead, Travis. Go ahead, Travis.
I'm dancing.
Get ready for the revolution. Come on. What you say?
Yeah!
She's twerking and jerking.
Oh no, she's eating pretzels and she's choking on one of them.
Oh no, she's choking
she's
and joking.
She's dancing through it. She's dancing through it. Oh, she's the real champion. We'll see you next week. Goodbye. Oh, hey y'all. Hey y'all, it's me, Amy Grant. Hey y'all, it's me, Amy Grant. Hey y'all, it's me, Amy Grant. Hey y'all, it's me. I'm just kidding. But next week, it's good Christmas fun. Ho, 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 y'all. Oh, doing all the Christmas stuff? That's so fun. And next week, Kevin and Caroline are kicking it off by talking about Chuck's Notes. Comedian Mike Warnke. Oh, that guy who pretended to be a Satanist, but he wasn't really a Satanist. That's what they're doing the first Christmas. Oh, God. Listen, I'm not steering this ship, but it seems like Kevin is struggling to book this show well. Or like, he books it fine, but then the scheduling comes out weird. But anyway, that's what they're doing. The album that they're doing is his first one alive. It came out in 1975, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, you can't find it anywhere. You can't find it on Spotify or YouTube or anything like that. So Kevin and Caroline are going to put a download link to the album in the show notes for this episode and in next week's episode too. So go to the show notes for this episode that you're listening to right now, and you'll find the download link for Mike Warnke Alive if you want to listen to it. It was transferred from a vinyl disc. This is true. It was transferred from a vinyl record. So it's got clicks and hisses and pops, and it sounds real vintage. So get in the holiday spirit with a fake Satanist. Great job, Kevin. Real smooth booking on that one. I'm sorry. I think I'm being too harsh on him. Anyway, Amy Mother from Grant, over and out.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.